Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
You have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs saying, look, it's just not right to have people lying about who they are just to be able to protect fellow citizens.
Yeah, and the commandant of the Marine Corps, whose people he's directly responsible for, is saying this could hurt our ability to win. I respect and admire these four service chiefs who have expressed either outright opposition or deep reservation about the repeal. They're the ones who are in charge. Now, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I agree. The president and secretary of defense have all come out for repeal.
That's NBC's David Gregory with Senator John McCain on Meet the Press yesterday, talking about the military's policy, gays in the military, don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue. Now, the question is, with all the studies and the reviews being done, the recommendations and the positions being taken, is it really possible that this policy conceived during the presidency of Bill Clinton could be repealed? And if it is repealed, what is it replaced with? There has to be some kind of policy in place. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll spend the first segment talking to Peter Sprague of the Family Research Council about gays in the military, and then we'll discuss the dangers of institutionalism in the church. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave your questions or comments on the dangers of institutionalism in the church for Pastor Fisk right there, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Peter Sprague is Senior Fellow for Family Policy Studies for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Peter, welcome.
Thank you, Todd.
With the midterm elections, is the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue still a real possibility?
I think that the chances were greatly reduced by the results of the midterm elections and just the agenda on the plate of Congress now that they've begun their lame duck session. However, I don't think it's completely dead. There are there are desperate efforts to keep this repeal possibility alive in the lame duck session.
What's the current status of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Well, what's happened is while there were bills introduced, standalone bills to repeal the law, the 1993 law against homosexual conduct in the military, the decision was made by the Democrats to try to improve the chances of getting this through by attaching it as an amendment to the defense authorization bill, a large defense policy bill that's usually passed every year. And the House voted in favor of the defense authorization bill with that provision included. The Senate has not voted in favor of it and has basically blocked it in a key vote several weeks ago. So currently, the issue is whether the defense authorization bill, with the provision repealing the 1993 law, whether that will be brought up for action in this lame duck session of Congress or not. And it remains an open question. Senator Reid, the Democratic leader, I don't believe has made a commitment one way or the other. The interesting thing is that last week, there were several articles in major publications like the Wall Street Journal at the beginning of the week saying, look, this is pretty much dead. There just isn't really time and so forth. The activists are going to have to accept defeat. And then the end of the week, all of a sudden, we started seeing leaked information in the Washington Post claiming that this surveys that have been done of service members and their spouses showed that that a large percentage of them really didn't care and it wouldn't have much of an impact. And this is getting sort of a jumping the gun on a report that's supposed to be released on December 1st. Misleading information in these leaks, and we at FRC condemned the leaks, and the Department of Defense actually, in a late Friday press release, condemned them as well, and took up our challenge to begin investigating these leaks. So I think these leaks are clearly calculated to try to revive a legislative initiative that is all but dead because of the calendar alone.
What are your particular concerns about the Pentagon's survey on homosexuals in the military?
Well, the most fundamental concern about the study that Secretary of Defense Robert Gates ordered and these surveys that were conducted as part of that study is that they were not exploring the question of whether the law should be repealed. They were limited to exploring the question of how repeal should be implemented. And so if you see reports saying, you know, oh, the survey showed 70% of service members would be okay with repeal of the law, well, that's impossible because the survey did not ask the question of whether they would support or oppose repeal of the law. And they are extrapolating, apparently, from a series of questions about what would you do in situation X or situation Y or situation Z if you were if you had to deal with a homosexual service member. And it's interesting. They actually said. You'll hear a lot of people are throwing around the figure of 70%. 70% said they would, you know, that it wouldn't be a big deal or something like that. But actually, the quote was that 70% said the impact would either there would be no impact, a positive impact, or mixed. And I thought it was fascinating that in order to reach that 70% figure, they had to include mixed. In other words, they're including people who say there would be negative consequences. You know, clearly we're going to have to look at this report when it's released on December 1st. It will need very careful study. And so what we've been saying is, there need to be hearings. Congress held at least 12 hearings on this issue in 1993. They need to hold hearings once again to evaluate this study, to evaluate the issue, to evaluate the process by which this survey was carried out. And there just won't be time to do that before this session of Congress ends.
What are the opponents of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, what are they proposing as a replacement policy?
Well, they actually support a complete non-discrimination policy, and it's interesting that Senator Lieberman introduced a standalone bill, and it actually had this non-discrimination language. In other words, not only would homosexuals be allowed to serve, but it would be against military policy to discriminate in any way against homosexuals. Now, we have a strong concern that that would end up being a limitation on free speech and freedom of religion for people who sincerely believe that homosexual conduct is wrong and or harmful. But the amendment that was added to the defense authorization bill did not include that language. It simply is a straightforward repeal. One of our concerns is that we feel inevitably there will be a sort of a zero-tolerance policy for any dissent, and that means that people who hold traditional values, they will become the ones who are persecuted and perhaps even forced out of the military.
Coming off last week's Veterans Day, do you have any sense of what America's veterans think about this, people who have served in the military?
Well, we have a strong sense from over 1,000 flag and general officers who signed a statement indicating that they do not believe that the policy should be repealed. As Senator McCain indicated in the clip you played at the beginning of this segment, the four service chiefs have all expressed grave reservations about changing this policy or outright opposition in the case of the Marine Corps commandant. Surveys conducted by newspapers like Military Times have shown that a clear majority of active duty military oppose changing the current law, and a significant percentage would either leave the military or consider leaving the military if it were to be changed.
So finally, with about 30 seconds, what's your bottom line concern about openly homosexuals serving in the U.S. military?
Well, there are a number of concerns we have. We're concerned about the threat to religious liberty, both for individual service members and for chaplains in particular. We're concerned about the fundamental privacy issues of putting people who are sexually attracted to people of the same sex in situations of intimacy where they share the barracks, they share the showers, and so forth with those people. And we're concerned about the health ramifications of welcoming in a population that has much higher risks of sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV. Those are just a number of the concerns that we have.
Peter Sprague is Senior Fellow for Family Policy Studies for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Family Research Council under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to be spending the rest of this hour on this Monday afternoon, November the 15th. Live with you, talking with Pastor Jonathan Fisk about the dangers of institutionalism in the church. Maybe it breaks down this way, that and maybe it is largely a generational thing. There was a generation, say the World War II and around that area generation, that when it came to the church as an institution was simply brand loyal. The church's logo sufficed to win their fidelity. And then, nowadays, that brand loyalty is not found among the younger generations. For them, the church kind of has to prove itself as a useful institution. We'll talk about the dangers of institutionalism in the church with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of a video blog called Worldview Everlasting, after this.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.